draw to a close here. I thought of four P's to just sum up kind of all we've been talking about in terms of the what we're commending to you all and everybody. You're going to go tell all about this seminar. As God's citizens, as Christ's people, but as citizens of the United States, things we can know for sure. I think what is our calling as Christian citizens, as Christ citizens in America? We're told explicitly to pray. So we need to actually do that and help each other do that. And then I think in our hearts and in our lives to prioritize. So just keeping in mind that Christ's church, Christ's kingdom, the advancement of the truth of the gospel is more important than whether America survives, although out of love for neighbors and for the world, I think we should want it to. But then to prioritize, straight line issues are what my dad was saying, like things that are not matters of conscience, right? Things that the scripture speaks plainly and directly to. We have to, I think, elevate those in our evaluation above jagged line issues, issues that are a matter of sort of trying to go from general scriptural policies, principles to specific policies that are matters of conscience. And just with that, I did want to tag on to the last thing we talked about, because I've been trying to navigate myself, like how can there be Christian teachers, very public, very gospel-centered, who are, in this case, advocating for Christians to vote for at the federal level, the Democratic platform, which is so explicitly pro-abortion, pro-trans, pro-gay marriage. And it seems to me like the jagged line issues or the matters of conscience and interpretation are superseding the straight line issues. And it seems to me like the way for that to work out is something that I know I'm guilty of myself. I think a lot of us Christians have just been lulled to sleep on the abortion issue. You know, if we said that every day, all over the country, especially in New York City, mothers, fathers, with the help of their doctors, are bringing their babies out and slaughtering them in the streets, I just don't think Christians would be talking the same way about the election. But because they're not being slaughtered in the streets, they're being slaughtered behind closed doors. I think it becomes very easy to be ambivalent about it. And so it seems to me like some of what's happening is Christians are, some of us are choosing to believe the most uncharitable rhetoric about what the right is going to do to this country, and is ignoring the plain speaking of the Democratic platform, which is saying, this is what we want to happen in our country. And so I think maybe something that I want to think more about is just how clear, how blatant God stands, particularly against child sacrifice. So Jeremiah 19:1-9. Maybe I'll start in the middle of verse 3. Behold, I am bringing such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle, because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings to other gods whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall no more be called Topheth or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. And in this place I will make void the plans of Judah and Jerusalem, and will cause their people to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hand of those who seek their life. I will give their dead bodies for food to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and I will make this city a horror, a thing to be hissed at. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss because of its wounds. And I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and their daughters. And everyone shall eat the flesh of his neighbor in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life afflict them. So if that's how God feels about the murder of innocent children, then I guess I just want to say, and I need to think through this more myself, if we love our country, and this is what happens to countries, you know, who slaughter their children, and, you know, abortion is the leading cause of death in the world, human death, you know. And so I think that that needs to sober us as we think about these questions. And then the third thing here, to proclaim impurity, and what I just mean by that is we're to be heralds of Christ and subjects of Christ. And so we shouldn't just speak Christianly, but we also need to be living godly lives among our neighbors. And then fourthly, what we've been talking about, participate. We have a little finger on the sword in the United States. And thanks for bearing with me. I found this quote related to what I was just saying, because I think this is part of our calling as well. Even as we stand against evil through our vote and through our perspectives, we're also the only ones who can tell our neighbors that there's forgiveness. Even if one does take life by aborting the baby, or we could say by transing your kid, or any of the evils we've been discussing, as a minister of Jesus Christ, I must also inform and remind you that there is a doctrine of forgiveness. The God I serve is a forgiving God. The men who killed President John F. Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. can be forgiven. Everyone can come to the mercy seat and find forgiveness and acceptance. But, and this may be the essence of my argument, suppose one is so hard-hearted and so indifferent to life until he assumes that there is nothing for which to be forgiven, which I think characterizes a lot of politicians. And this is what he says. What happens to the mind of a person and the moral fabric of a nation that accepts the aborting of the life of a baby without a pang of conscience? What kind of a person and what kind of a society will we have 20 years hence if life can be taken so casually? It is that question, the question of our attitude, our value system, and our mindset with regard to the nature and worth of life itself. And that is the central question confronting mankind. Failure to answer that question affirmatively may leave us with a hell right here on earth. And that's where I would argue against Christians who I do think in good conscience are saying, well, I can't vote, I'm not going to vote pro-life this round because I'm trying to save American democracy. And I think this argument to me more holds sway of what kind of democracy are we going to have if we continue to teach each other, let's kill our babies, let's trans our kids, let's throw off the fundamental creation structures of society. You guys know who this was? Who said this? It was Jesse Jackson, which I think should just be a warning to us. Like, we need God's word to keep us, or we're just going to stray with the times, because he clearly does not maintain this view anymore. He changed it when he started running for president as a Democrat. Right. Maybe. Okay, so I gave you those four P's, just one more. I'd say we should add an A, anticipate. We live in hope of Christ glorifying himself, saving his people, saving the lost that he's chosen. And so we have a fundamentally optimistic outlook on God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom. And with that, let's just close in prayer. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that we can discuss these really weighty and significant matters with a sense of hope, not in America, not in this election, not even in our own wisdom, but Jesus, that you will reign and you will bring all things to their proper conclusion. I pray that you would teach us more and more to hate what you hate and to love what you love, and to think wisely about how we relate to our society, how we relate to each other as fellow believers, how we engage with believers who are not seeing these things the same way, or even among ourselves as brothers and sisters here, that you would be glorified in the outcome of our disagreements, in the outcome of our living in this democratic republic as Christians. Amen.